Everything is even after I get my punishment, even after I get my punishment for not bringing back Binyamin, the bottom line is Binyamin's not coming back home. And our father is going to have Agmas Nefesh, Yogoin, and he will go down to his grave prematurely. So that would make a lot of sense. The word Vameis in the beginning of the pasuk is a reference to Yehuda, and the Yogoin Sheol is a reference to Yaakov. Along comes Rashi, and he spoils all the fun. And he says, nope, Yehuda's not going to die. Yehuda doesn't care. Yehuda, the responsibility, whatever the responsibility, the guarantee was, it's not going to make a difference. Yehuda will not die. So when it says in the pasuk Vayikira, so kiyananar vomes, who is the word, who is the subject of the word vomes? It is Yehuda, it is Yaakov, Yaakov. But then there's repetition. The pasuk goes on to say, if he's already dead, then what does it mean that he's going to go down into his grave in agony? Well, you have to be very creative in translating the pasuk, and you have to really translate the pasuk backwards. When Yaakov sees that Binyamin has not returned, he's going to have a lot of Agmas Nefesh, Yogoin. He's going to have Seva, old age. His old age is V'choyridu avadecha es Sevas avdechavin, which I'm assuming is an expression which means that he will advance, and in his old age will come upon him at an accelerated rate. And ultimately, Vameis, he will die. That's the only way you can make sense of Rashi. Now, if this is what Rashi says, so now that forces us to go back and see, wait a minute, what exactly did the Targum say? Look at the Targum. V'heikad yechazare les uleima umis. Doesn't say who's going to die. Targum doesn't say who's going to die. V'yachasun avdoch, your servant, yos sevas avdoch uvono, our father, bidavoin, now may lishaol. You see, there is a little bit of a hint here. One letter. The letter lamed, maybe, is an indication that there might be a machloikis between Rashi and the Targum. Because in the pasuk, it does not say lishaol. It says biyogoin sheol. In yogoin, sorrow, in the sheol. Unkelis says lishaol. Lishaol means to the grave, which would seem to indicate Yaakov is alive, and then after then he's going to die. Going into the grave is an expression which means he's going to die. Then when it says umis, maybe umis means that I, Yehuda, will die. Now, let's go back to Rashi. What would it be according to Rashi? If you want to go say Vameis means Yaakov, so I'm thinking out loud, now that we have over here the Lamed Lishoila, it would mean as follows. It would mean like this. According to Rashi, who's going to die? Yaakov's going to die. Now, Yaakov's already dead. So here. Now, this is more Kabbalistic type of stuff. If you read these books, which really, it's all, I mean, if there's a Messiah, there's a Messiah for this, but if there's no Messiah, I don't know what to say, but if you read some of these spooky books, they seem to say is that after a person dies, until he's buried, his neshama is right there. This is what it says in all these spooky books, which I don't vouch for because I know nothing about this. I'm just telling you what I've seen over the years here and there. When a person dies, the neshama is right there. The neshama sees everything that's going on. It goes, the neshama listens to the hespedim at the levaya. The neshama sees everything that happens. The neshama does not leave this world and go to the olam ha'emes until after the burial, in the grave. During the time between death and burial, the neshama is in a state of being which we don't really know what kind of state of being it is. But it does appear that the neshama could either have agmas nefesh, or can be happy. It did what it's supposed to in this world. We know from Chazal that Yaakov Avinu, for 22 years, was in a very deep state of mourning. And the reason being was because he knew that if one of his children died, and he did not leave this world, bringing into this world the Shivtei Kah, the 12 Shavuot of Klal Yisrael, it would mean that he failed in his mission. Now, even though 22 years have passed, and things are just as bad as it can get, there's still hope. You never know. Maybe one day Yosef will walk in the front door. But now, if Yaakov is going to die, go into the grave, and Yosef never came home, and Binyamin also never came home, then Yaakov Avinu, between the time of death and burial, is going to be in a very difficult, dire straits. Now, then listen, I'm not saying it correctly, or even in the other world, even in this, I'm just saying crazy things now. And the reason why I'm saying crazy things is because this bothers me very, very much. There are two things I really am trying to suggest are toluy ze boze. Rashi makes a big issue about the one that's dying here in the beginning of the pasuk is Yaakov. If Rashi has to say this, obviously there are other commentators that disagree. And being that Rashi's comments are primarily directed at Unkelus, I am suggesting that Unkelus may very well disagree with Rashi and hold that the one that's going to die for not bringing back Binyamin will be Yehuda. Because Yehuda, the previous pasuk says, I am the guarantor. I'm the guarantor. I have taken, that's really the next pasuk. Ki avdecha, the reason why I'm so worked up is because your servant, orav esana. So Yehuda has a vested interest. And when it says vomes, I'm trying to suggest that there's a machlokes with Rashi and Unkelus, who is the one that's going to die for not bringing back Binyamin. Pashtus, the simple understanding is, this has been taught since we've been in kindergarten, is the one that's going to die is going to be Yaakov. Yaakov is going to die from Agmas Nefesh. But there's an obvious question. If Yaakov is going to die from Agmas Nefesh immediately, what sense does it make the second half of the pasuk? If he already died, what does it mean that I'm going to take him down in old age? Sha'ola b'yogon sha'ola. What does that mean exactly? So that's a bit of a difficulty. Unkelus does not say who's going to die. He just says somebody will die. And then at the end of the pasuk, when it says she'ola, he adds a letter that it does not say in the pasuk, li she'ol, into the grave. Now, when you talk about, when you say an expression of going towards the grave, it usually has a ring, it usually has a connotation of dying. Person's dying, he dies, he goes into the grave. But if you're not going to have the lamed, you take away the lamed, it almost sounds like the person is already dead. And after he has died, he's in the olam, wherever he is, wherever that neshama is, the neshama is in the grave, whatever that means. And while it's there, that neshama has enormous pain because the neshama realizes it failed in its mission in this world and it's now too late to do anything about it. So I'm trying to suggest that according to the parish of the Targum, the one that's going to die is going to be Taka Yaakov. V'hoya kiroysa keinanar. Who's going to die? I'm sorry, who's going to die? I'm sorry, according to the Targum. Who's going to die? Vomes Yehuda, I'm going to die. And then, in addition to me dying, Yehuda, I'm going to be the catalyst of my father having Agmas Nefesh. V'ridu avdecha, are Yehuda going to cause my father, after I'm gone, to get old very quickly, as save us after Avinu biyogon in anguish, pain for number one, my death, Binyamin's death, and Yosef's death, lisha oila. And that will cause my father to go into the grave, to die. Leah Sha'ila is equivalent to dying. But according to Rashi, Rashi says clearly, Vameis refers to Yaakov. So Yaakov is already dead. If he's already dead, what then does it mean? I'm trying to suggest, because it says word Sha'ola, not Lishol, it means I will be the cause of my father having Agmas Nefesh in the other world. While he's dead, that's the Olam HaNeshamos. While he is in the Sha'ol, he's already dead, he will have Yogoin, the Neshama will have sorrow, and it will be as if your servant is causing his father, our father, to experience pain in the other world. Okay, so all of this, you can play around with this for a long time, but because of only reason why we can play around with all this, only because Rashi and Unkelos, that's what we're doing in the Shia. We have here Rashi says, Avinu Mitzorasa, which is a statement, which obviously means that not everyone agrees to this. And then when you go look at the Targum, who doesn't say anything, and he is the Lamed, you know, there's something over here going on. Now, in the Ma'atzari, I looked at the Ma'atzari, I don't think there's anything on this Pasuk. There's nothing on Pasuk Lamed Aleph, surprisingly. I looked here before we started. No, he does say he has one word on the case of this Yogan. Yogan bidavoy na koloshna kasav chol levav devoy. Every heart is full of sorrow. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. It's a very morose shir tonight, no? Okay. Kiav de chora vesenar. Your servant has taken responsibility for the nar. Me'im avi lemar im loy avi enu elacha. If I do not bring him back to you, v'chotasi le'avi kol hayamin, I have sinned to my father all of the days. Now, what does that mean exactly? So, the Unkelos over here says, "Arei because avdoch your servant me'arav be'u lemar has taken responsibility for the young man min abba lemar. My father saying, im lo aisine levasach. If I don't bring him to you, v'ehi chotei." I will be a sinner. What is the tag? Why over here do they put these words in bold? Why? Is because it seems he's changing the tense. The chotasi liavi means in the past tense. And here the targum is switching from the past tense into the future tense. That requires explanation. Let's see Rashi. Rashi says, ki avdecho ravesnar v'im toimar, if you, Yosef, are going to ask the question, why am I so worked up about this? Why am I entering into this quarrel more than my brothers? The answer is, that fits very well with what I just said before, talking about the other world. The previous pasuk talked about a principle of there being a sevas avdecha avinu biyagon sha'ola in the sha'ol. See, this mamash proves my point. I'm going to be knocked out in two worlds. I'm going to be the one who caused my father to die prematurely in this world, and I'm the one that's causing him agmas nefesh in the other world. So the reason why I am so worked up and I have stuck out my neck in order to save Binyamin is because I took responsibility. The answer is, Heim kulam b'chutz. Doesn't make a difference to them. They're not gonna suffer from this. Va'ani, I niskasharti. I am invested. I am locked in. I am tied up in this b'kesher chazak lihiyos minudeh. If this thing does not go according to plan, I'm going to be excommunicated. Bebeis oilamos in two worlds. What are the two worlds? This world and the next world. where do you get the other world? Where do you get that from? What do you mean the other world? This world, the other world? Well, if you go back to the previous pasuk and you preach what Rashi says and look at the targum, look at the contrast, then you understand. Because the previous pasuk says, Vayikiros ukiyanar vomes. Yaakov will die instantly. Instantly. And who's responsible for that? Me. And then what's next? Then when my father is in the other world, my father will experience this thing called a sevas. It'll be like an old, this is some type of Kabbalistic principle, it seems. A sevas avdach, I'm going to bring down in the next world upon my father an old age, some type of weakness in the next world, where my father will have agmas nevesh and yogon, when he is already in the she'olah. Not like uncle says, l'she'olah. He's already in the she'ol, and in the she'ol he's suffering. And who's responsible for that suffering in the other world? Me! Because I didn't bring back Binyamin. That's the other world. So this next pasuk, the way Rashi explains, it would appear that Rashi is l'shitasoi. Not like the uncleus that learns, that I'm suggesting is that the one that's going to die is Yehuda. And after Yehuda is gone, Yaakov is going to have so much agmas nefesh from what has happened to three of his children, that Yosef didn't come home, Binyamin didn't come home, Shimon didn't come home. He's going to go, b'yagon she'ola, al tikre she'ola, ela l'she'ola. Okay, so what I'm saying over here, I think it fits. This is a chiddush, what I'm telling you, this is a chiddush. You're not going to hear this in the art scroll. Certainly not. But I think there's something, devarim begav. Okay, pasuk lamed gimel. V'yata, now yesh adcha avtachasana. Now, let your servant, now Yehuda makes a desperate plea, let me be a replacement. Let me go instead. I will be the replacement for Binyamin. V'yata, now yesh adcha, let your servant, who's your servant, I, tachas, in exchange for the nar, evi ladiva, nar yalav, he'll go back home. Targum. What is that? Ha'an. Okay, the Targum always be translated with an. Ata means now. Okay, I don't know why I put that in bold. That's pretty straightforward. Ha'an now. Yesef ka'an. I guess that's why. That's why. That's what he's doing over here. This is very, very interesting. The Targum is translating both the word vi'ata and the word na exactly the same. Ordinarily, when we have the word yeshev na, probably in the art scroll, and other translations, they always translate the word no to mean please. Kach no es bincha, es yechidcha, es yechidcha, es yitzchak. No means please, pretty please. The Targum never ever translates the word no l'shoin bakasha. No always means now. That's his translation. Now the Targum here is really in trouble, because here it says ve'ata, and the word ata means now. So how could you have two words which the Targum translates exactly the same come together? Ve'ata now, yeshev na, now let me remain put. No means the same thing twice. If you look like it normally means no means bakosha v'yata. Now, yeshev no, please let me, your servant, be a replacement for Binyamin. But if no means now and v'yata means now, we have a double repetition. Okay, we have to see v'yata. That's what the Targum says. V'yata now, yeshev now, avdach your servant, techos uleima, in place of the young man, avda, the servant, liriboni, as an avdol l'riboni, a servant for the master, v'ulema, and the young man, yisak, shall ascend, im achuhi, shall go up with his brethren, shall go back to his father. Okay, so that is what does Rashi say? Rashi says Yesh Avdachol Lachol Dovarim Ulam and Rashi over here is saying something a little bit different. Rashi over here does not appear in this case to disagree with the Unkelus. He does come to embellish the case, the possible telling us some information. Lachol Dovarim Ulam Menu Legvura Ulamulchama Ulashamesh. I'm better than him every way. I'm better than him in Gvura, stronger. Legvura Ulamulchama Ulashamesh, and to serve. And what is the difference between Givura and Milchama? Isn't this an interesting Rashi? What's the difference? Why does a person need Givura? We just kind of Giboidim Biyad Chaloshim, V'rabim Biyad Ma'atim. Right? The Milchama, Alanisim V'alham Milchamois. The purpose of Givura is for Milchama. So what then does it mean over here? Rashi, I'm better than L'Givura U'L'Milchama. Gevur means milchama. Milchama means gevur. Obviously, they're different. Maybe what it means is there are the people like, you know, in America, the Pentagon. And the Pentagon, they plan all the wars. But who fights the wars? The soldiers. The soldiers need gevur. But battle plan, battle strategy is prepared in the Pentagon. It's prepared by the Chachamim. Supposedly, you hope they're not card-carrying members of Chelm, but supposedly the people who plan the battles are very, very smart. They know what they're doing, they know how to strategize, and the Gevura, the soldiers need to be very strong. Okay, so I'll be a Rashi Unkelus, and for our next Pasuk. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Ki Eich El El Avi, how can I go to my father by night in a Yiti Pen Erev Vera? How can I ascend to my father, and the nar is not with me? How can I go to my father, and the nar is not with me? Pen erev ora. I don't want. Now, there's two words for maybe. There is ulai, and there is pen. They both mean the same thing. They both mean perhaps. But what's the difference? The difference is the word ulai is when you say maybe, and you really do want it to happen. The word pen is when you don't want it to happen. You don't want it to happen. So here, maybe means I don't want it to happen. Ere v'ra asher yimtsa savi, the ra that will overcome, the ra that will overcome my father. Okay, so this is again ki eich ela el avi. How can I go to my father? Targum on this pasuk says, "Arei echdein." How could it be? Esak levas abo uleimo leisohi. If he is not with me, Dilma maybe echazei bevishu. I will witness the evil. Di yishtakach yosav will come to my father. Rashi. There is no Rashi. Next pasuk. Below, now you get to the very emotional part of the Torah, one of the most emotional parts of the entire Torah, is this pasuk. Below, Yochol Yosef lehisapek. Yosef was unable to do what? And this is a very good machlekes between Rashi and the Unkelus. The word lehisapek. Rashi right away says, lisboil. He was unable to bear. Targum. Which means to be strong. Let me see what it is over here, make sure I'm saying it correctly in the mat. Sorry. Le'is chana kavanosoi. Over here, many from the mat. Sorry, it means le'is chazik. Ve'es apak ve'elech ho'ele. Ve'chen koloshen his apkus b'cholmot m'chizek. U'deloi k'rashi v'ibn Ezra. Shapirusha lisapek lisboil. Okay, so that's what I tackle. So I prepared this today, believe it or not. I looked over here in the mat story before, and he says the machlek is in Rashi and Unkelus as to the meaning of the word lisapek. Rashi says to bear, and Unkelus says to be strong. So, and then Rashi adds my perish lisapkus huloshen choizek, where, not here, in another pasuk, later, a little before. Chayzek elu shperish kal lefil inyan. L'chor gam losh le'ischa sonah. B'targum ein astil l'perish l'spoil. Okay, so then he goes on, he wants to go say over here, Chidushim over here, which we'll leave out for now, but it's interesting that they have two very different words. According to, let's see the puzzle, Yochel Yochel Hissa, Yosef was unable to Hissa Peik, L'chol Hanitza Vim Olof, Ayikon Yikol L'chol Yitziu Kol Ishme Oloi, he said everyone should leave. For the Omar Ish Ito, no one stood with him, but his Fada, when he confessed, Yosef Elechov. So let's see the Targum, that one is, L'yochel Yosef L'is Chasono. Yosef was unable l'is chasana. The word is chasana comes from the word, I don't know the exact shirish, but it means to be strong. L'chol d'kaimin I lo vohi, regarding all those that were standing near him, u'karani called out, apiku kol enosh me I lo vohi, v'lo ka enosh imeno, and stood there, Kadwen is Yeda Yosef Levas Achohi, when he made himself known. Okay, so there's a lot of over here going on over here. The word Behisvada means Lashon of to know, Das, Deo, Vehadom, Yoda, Es Chava Ishtoi. Adam knew Chava Ishtoi. They were one, they knew each other. Be'isvada, in an intimate way. They knew each other in an intimate way, be'isvada, lashon of knowledge. Not everyone agrees to that, because some learn be'isvada means to confess, to recite vidui, a confession. Okay, that's not the way both Rashi and Uncle Sidney both agree. The word of be'isvada means to make himself known. He made himself known to his brothers. Now, what does it mean that he was unable to be strong? It means he was unable, not really sure what it means, he was unable l'ischasono, to strengthen himself regarding all the people that were surrounding him. So what does that mean? What do you mean? I guess this is what it means, is that Yosef wanted to put on a strong face. Yosef did not want the Egyptians to see him in a state of weakness, because then all of the servants would have disrespect for him. They would not view Yosef with the same awe and respect that they had for him. Therefore, he had to tell them to leave so they should not see him in this matzav. I know someone who told me a story about his Rebbe, and the Rebbe, he was in the country, and the Talmud went to visit the Rebbe, and knocked on the door, and the Rebbe was expecting the Talmud, and the Rebbe said, wait a minute, I have to put on my kapota. So then the Rebbe opened the door, and the Rebbe said to the Talmud, he says, it's not good for the Talmud to see the Rebbe without a kapota. This is a European. The oldest goes back 50 years at least, and more. It's not the way a Talmud has to see the Rebbe in a matzav, in a bederach kovod. In America, this concept is so foreign. It is so outrageous. The President of the United States, he has no problem walking around wearing shorts and jeans and, you know, to dress like the regular American citizen, Samaila. They showed Netanyahu. They show him, he walks around with his dog, walks around in jeans. You wouldn't know there's Netanyahu. You would think he's who knows, he's a member of the Morning Kollel. You wouldn't know, right? There's no such thing. But it used to be in the olden days, if you're the President of the United States, if you're the Prime Minister, you wouldn't be caught dead walking the streets without a suit and a tie, with their kollel. People should not see you in that matzav. So Yosef had a whole house of servants, a whole country, and if Yosef would be seen crying, breaking down, and humbling himself before his brothers, they would right away snap camera pictures, and they would post pictures all over the country of Yosef crying and in a weak state, and then he would lose his esteem in front of the entire country. So Yosef, what should he have done? He should have told them, you know who I am? I'm Yosef. And just stood there stoic, with no tears, no emotion, So that way, when they take pictures, no one's gonna. Yosef is the leader. He's a strong person, but he was unable to compose himself, and he did not want to be seen by his servants in a vulnerable position. So he told them, "All of you people, get out." V'lo yachol lehisapek. He was unable to strengthen his composure and present himself as a strong person in front l'chol hanitzavim olav, as what's about to happen. And therefore, vayikra he called, hayitziu kol lishmei oloi, everyone leave, v'lo omar ish ito v'esvada Yosef, v'locha v'lom was there when he made himself known to his brothers. Rashi disagrees. That's not what the pasuk means. Yosef couldn't care less if he would be seen in a vulnerable position. Maybe that would be a good photo op for the next campaign, next election. Look, Yosef's one of us. He's a person. He's a balbechi. He has emotion. That's not the issue. When it says v'yochol Yosef lehisapek, he couldn't continue to see his brothers suffer the humiliation in front of all of the people in the surrounding them. Yosef was berating them, and they were being humiliated. He couldn't be soivel. He couldn't bear their humiliation in front of all the people that are standing around now, and certainly when he's going to say to them, Ani Yosef, ha'od avi chai, they're all going to be shamed. They're going to be put to shame. It's bad enough they're going to be put to shame and alone, but he doesn't want them to be put to shame in the presence of all the people that are standing around. So we have a major machlokes in Rashi and Unkelus.
But the next pasuk says he cried, so it wouldn't fit in into this.
They didn't see him cry. He cried.
He was concerned not about the brothers, about himself.
He cried. No, but you can learn it both ways. And we have to go and analyze the next pasuk in light of this pasuk. What exactly? We have to analyze it. And it's not a kashya. You learn the pasuk in the next pasuk two ways. But this pasuk, it's very important to appreciate. There's a major machlokes in Rashi and Unkelus. Unkelus, v'yochol Yosef le'is chasono, to be strong, to compose himself, to present himself as a strong man. He doesn't want people to see. L'chol dekamin ilo vohi, all those that stood around him. Therefore, what did he do? He called out, apikul kol enash mi ilo vohi, everyone get out. V'locha enash ime, no one stood with him. Kad when isida yasef levas achahi, no one saw him when he made himself known to his brothers. Rashi says, l'yochol yosef l'sapeh l'chol anitzavim, l'ohoyo yochol lisboil. He couldn't bear sheyiyu mitzvim nitzavim olav v'shoim in, and the Egyptians will hear she'echav misbaishim. He couldn't bear that they should suffer. It wasn't about him. According to Rashi, the subject of the word isapak is Yosef. He couldn't control himself. He did not want to be seen in a state of vulnerability. Whereas according to Unkelus, He didn't want his brothers to be seen by the Egyptians when they would be humiliated when he says Ani Yosef. Yochlis will show you a mitzrim nitzavim Allah v'shem will hear she'achav mispaishim, and his brothers will be embarrassed behi vod oy lochem when he makes himself known to them. All right, tomorrow Mirchel will continue. And about Wednesday I'm not going to be here. Wednesday I have to go to Yortzeit Suda. I have to go. Someone has a Yortzeit Suda. And I have to, it's very important, because he had a child that passed away. I have to go to this thing. I don't have a choice. So we'll see what will be on Wednesday. But Mishnah tomorrow, Amir Tzah Hashem, B'lineda will have a shiur tomorrow. And again, Wednesday, we'll figure out. Thank you for coming, Rabbi Yisai. Have a good night. Lazer, good night. Mr. Mizglada, thank you for coming. Heshi, thank you for coming. And Rav Meir, Yashar Koyach, regards to Tamari. Good night, everyone. Thank you, good night. Zion.
Shema Yisrael, so we'll go with Teddy and Book. Okay, now we have to put on your shoes. No, golden put on my shoes, you put on my shoes, golden put on my shoes, you put on my shoes. Tickling me, take it off. No, I don't take it off, put it on. Okay, shoes. The carriage, no carriage, carriage, no carriage, and the carriage, out of carriage. Okay, fine, let's go. Go to Sarah, we reach Sarah's house, want to go to Bobby. No. Okay, so my shoes, okay, just take him in his carriage, bring him up, put him down on the floor.
Tell him it's Bobby's house.
No, I'm gonna be fine. No, you can't. You can only get on the floor for these things. Okay, so let's take them up. Put them down for his uncle Walker when he came in. We gave him a book. No, he ran and brought him a Meatless Man book. And
see him last.
2.5 hours. He was busy like anything. 2.5 hours later, he still didn't want to leave. Didn't want to come, didn't want to leave.
What did you do for 2.5 hours?
I sat down with her armchair. With a man.
Oh, what's
like this?
The news
I woke up an hour and a half later. No, like a 2-year-old man.
See, what was the best? Which one was that? Maybe the main
one. What was the main thing?
Yeah, what was the cover?
Something in the Philippines. No, something like that.
I don't know.
Anyway. Okay, I woke up one. So his parents came. We brought donuts and said hi.
Her parents are Plotsker?
No.
No, her uncle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, so what was the point of the story? Yes, I spent hours with some tomatoes and food. Crazy. Yeah. But what's the point of the story?
Because it's in Nimtza.
Yeah.
And then we eat expect a little shoot.
Yeah.
Zaken, I only have two hands. I have three strong carry besides yours.
I worked like every single day, and I went like an hour and a half every single day, and I told myself I don't know how bad I was.
Number one of this one, number two of
You?
Recording in progress.
Because what he say, the guy came and said
he was
No, he wasn't Mabakalit. The guy was
Mabakalit.
No, he wasn't. He said Rosh Hashanah Mabakalit was up again. Look, that's the guy holding the seat.
That's what he said.
I don't know about the government.
On the violent crime spike that we've been seeing, there was fashion grab robberies, there was the pretty alarming murder in the wealthy Hollywood neighborhood last week, and then an attack, a violent robbery in Pacific Palisades on Friday. This is sort of similar to the crime spike that we saw over the summer, and one of the president's biggest pushes to address that was the DOJ strike teams that were sent out to those five cities. It was DC, New York, Chicago, LA, and San Francisco. Since those strike forces were assembled in July, have they accomplished anything?
Look, I think we sent those strike forces in part because of the spike in gun violence, something that continues to be a concern. And we sent them, the Department of Justice, I should say, sent them in order to work in partnership and in lockstep with law enforcement on the ground. We've also recently taken steps. The Justice Department, the FBI, and federal law enforcement have been working with local jurisdictions, especially areas like Los Angeles, San Francisco, and others where we've seen a rash of break-ins, to offer their assistance and provide assistance through multi-jurisdictional task.
Shlomo Rabinowitz is here. What's new with you?
Baruch Hashem. I could sneak up on you on this video.
You're going to sleep here. All right, let's learn.
What daf?
Today is daf Chav Dalad. We're going to start from daf Chav Gimel Beis towards the very bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, let's see over here on the bottom. No, not, I'm sorry, let's start from... Let's start from... Let's start from the Sue. No, let's go back a little further. Amar Rav Zrikel Rav Safra, Tochazi Ma Ben Takifi De Ara Di Yisrael.
How many lines in the bottom?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14. Yeah. Yeah. Tochazik, come and see. A second. Oh.